League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Larson was down at the USL affiliate, RGV. Oh, it's a nice threaded ball. It's Minota. Shot the goal. Omar Minotas. He has just become the Houston Dynamo regular season MLS all-time leading goal scorer with 15.
Welcome back to the second hour of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. A moment here for the presenting sponsor, the Daspit Law Firm. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, they are personal injury attorneys. They are bringing you our number two with a lot of great support. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Whether you get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler, it doesn't matter. The Daspit Law Firm has you covered. They'll work for you 24-7 nights and weekends. Get the representation you need with John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They are proud sponsors, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. So big thank you to John and his firm. Before I replay that Jose Mourinho soundbite where he basically says he has no special players on Manchester United, I do want to remind people we played that Mauro Minotas goal call again because here at Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, we want to congratulate Mauro Minotas for becoming the all-time single-season, regular-season top goal scorer for the Houston Dynamo with 15. It's been a pretty remarkable rise for this young man, and I think we need to take notice. And in our city, he is one of the rising young talents as an athlete. Congratulations to Mauro Minotas. He now has 20 in all competitions, too. So he's broken both records. Later on in the show tonight, I'll have Will Bruin of the Seattle Sounders on. Will scored a bunch of goals for the Dynamo. I'm going to ask him about his time with Mauro Minotas and if, in fact, he felt he would see Mauro in a position like this only a couple of years later. So it's one of the things we'll ask Will Bruin about, and we'll also ask him about coming out and playing in front of 40,000 people consistently in Seattle and how they've gotten off on their run in Major League Soccer. So we're going around MLS a little bit tonight with some of the teams that are on a bit of a roll heading into the playoffs. We had Steve Birnbaum of DC United and Wayne Rooney. Now, also coming up on the show in the second hour, and this is pretty interesting, ahead of friendlies with Peru and Colombia, the U.S. national team roster, we'll talk that. As well as other things with the U.S. men's national team coach Dave Sarakin. So we'll talk to him about bringing Michael Bradley back. And Dynamo fan, soccer fan, U.S. fan, you want to see Michael Bradley back in the fold now? 713-780-3776. It's been a bit of a polarizing moment. So would you like to see Michael Bradley back? Because you're going to see him back. Is this something that you think is healthy? I think it's healthy. I think you got to begin to mix some veterans now. With some of these younger guys. And what you're going to see here is, and this to me is one of the real interesting things about him coming back into the team, and a Brad Guzan. Talking about guys that have been at some differing levels. So for some of these young guys now that have taken the mantle of leadership, do they step way back now since these guys come back into the team, to the dynamics of team chemistry? Or are they respectful to a Michael Bradley and a Brad Guzan without losing their confidence? This is a real area, I think, and we'll ask Dave Sarokin about that. Because you don't want those players now to take a total back seat. You heard the advice of Zlatan Ibrahimovic to Alfonso Davies, who's going to Bayern Munich of Vancouver. He said, be respectful to the veterans. Don't be that respectful. It's pretty interesting stuff from Zlatan Ibrahimovic. All right, also interesting, here's Jose Mourinho after the 0-0 draw today against Valencia in the Champions League. United did not look great. Looked kind of methodical, looked sluggish at times, I thought. Didn't move the ball quickly. Here's Mourinho on a post-match comment that, to me, kind of throws the team under the bus.
The effort was something that I demand, and when you don't have special qualities, you cannot ask for special things, but commitment, effort, you can demand, and the players, they answer well.
When you don't have special qualities, you can't ask for special things. So essentially, he doesn't believe he's got any special players based on that comment, or maybe he doesn't believe he has any special players in the moment. So that includes Paul Pogba, that includes guys like Marcus Rashford, Alexis, not special players. I'll tell you what, I wish I was a not special player making that money. £500,000 a week for Alexis Sanchez. 713-780-3776. You can have a thought on Mourinho. You can have a thought on Manchester United. You can have a thought on Mauro Minotas breaking records for the Houston Dynamo. I mean, there's no question now that he is being coveted by other teams. Minotas, Albert Elise, Romel Kyoto. You know, with a better, stronger back four and one that was more consistent. Now, we have to consider Dave Sarokin building the national team from the back going forward defensively. Right? No question. That's what he's doing. U.S. is still looking for a playmaker. U.S. is looking for more in the final third of the field. They'll get more of that back with Christian Pulisic, but they still are going to have to find more. Jozy Altidore still remains the number one striker. Josh Sargent is back in this pool for the U.S., which I think is exciting. Great young talent. Werder Bremen. He did it in both the under-17 and under-20 World Cups. And now he's enveloped in the pro game in Germany. So lots of hope and promise from a lot of these players. The Dynamo had six and have had six center backs this year. That is tough. It's injuries, players aging. This is the reality. If we want to talk Dynamo reality, this is the reality, and that's got to get sorted out. Alejandro Fuenmayor has shown some wonderful glimpses as a young center back, looks like a young center back of the future. Certainly has to polish his game. You had Kevin Garcia in there. You've had Adolfo Machado. You've had Leonardo. You've had Felipe Senderos. All guys that have had excellent careers. Case of Senderos, three World Cups. Machado just went to one. Leonardo winning MLS Cups in LA, but they're older. Has to be some stability in that position. I don't think any question in the future. The Dynamo are certainly going to have to find able backups for their front three and their holding midfielder. It can't all go to heck when you lose your team MVP in Juan David Cabezas. If he is that valuable to your team, you have to have something that would back him up. And I think, you know, we were hoping that would be Darwin Serena. And I think Serena's had some good moments this year, but, you know, there was nobody who was able to step up in the Juan David Cabezas role and bring that personality, bring that effect on others to a team. Just like we heard Steve Birnbaum talking about with Wayne Rooney. We're going to take a break. Daspit Law Firm presenting the second hour here. A big thank you to BMW. Get down to Advantage BMW in Midtown. That is the place to go. Get down there. See Philip, Sergio, Justin. See the guys down at BMW. They'll have you covered. Sales, service. I've leased, I've owned from Advantage BMW in Midtown. It is the place to go. Taking a Bud Light break now. More to come. Dave Sarokin, U.S. Men's National Team, is up next. She'd never had a fall.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. A moment for second hour presenting sponsor, the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. Will bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com. Thanks to John. They are helping keep soccer on the air. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. You might get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery. It doesn't matter. It's not the time that you can afford not to have good representation. You'll get that with John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Get the representation you need. DaspitLaw.com. They're proud sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. My good friends down at Advantage BMW. Now, I've driven a BMW for years. In fact, leased owned from Advantage BMW in Midtown. Go down there. Say hello to Philip, Justin, Sergio. These are big soccer guys. They love the game. And I love the drive of a BMW. After all, it is the ultimate driving machine. I got a 5 Series. Absolutely love it. The other thing I love is the customer service at BMW. It's second to none. Advantage BMW Midtown has covered you with sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. Get the hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown, AdvantageBMWHouston.com. And by the way, on the way home from Austin recently, my tire, I got the run flats. I'm in a situation where there's no pressure in the tire. I call my salesperson at night, and it's not early at night. It's fairly late. And I call Sergio, and I go, Sergio, you know, can I drive on this? Got absolutely no pressure in the tire. He goes, oh, it's no problem. It's a run flat. You can drive it in. You're about 30 miles out. That's no problem. Park it in your garage tonight. Bring it in tomorrow. We'll put new tires on it. And that's exactly what they did. So I brought the car in the morning. They took me home, picked me back up. I picked my car up. And just like that, I'm back in business. So that is the customer service you're going to get at Advantage BMW. All right. Big moment now to talk to U.S. men's national team coach Dave Sarokin. Now, he is in there technically on an interim basis. Dave Sarokin and U.S. men's national team will take on two World Cup foes coming up, Colombia October 11th and Peru on October 16th. Here's Dave Sarokin of the U.S. men's national team. Well, Dave, the first thing, I'm going to go a little different here. Before we talk about the roster, I want to talk about Dave Sarokin. And, you know, it's almost a year or close to a year, or maybe it is a year now you've been with the team. What's biggest in your mind that sticks out after this year?
Wow. There's been a lot of things in my mind over the course of this year. But I would say I'm sure you're referring to my experience with this particular group over the year. And I guess in a word, there's hope, you know, hope that we've got a bigger net than people might think in terms of a pool of players that can transition to the next level. And, you know, I just feel very good about, you know, that we've offered a lot of these young guys an opportunity to show where they're at and where they can be. And in all these friendlies over the months and now leading into these fall games, I think we've established something that people are excited about, that at U.S. Soccer we're looking forward to, and by no means am I saying that this is the finished product, but I think there's a lot of hope with these young guys.
Certainly exciting times, I don't think any question. Do you think some of these guys would have gotten the opportunity if everything had occurred the way we would have wanted it to have qualified for Russia? I mean, it could have really delayed opportunity for some of these players, right?
Possibly, yeah, possibly. I think it's a good way of saying, turning a bad situation into something good, maybe. But that's kind of life, you know. When one door closes, there's opportunities that open. And you're right, and, you know, having qualified maybe would have you know, delayed a little bit in terms of the experiences that a lot of these young guys would have had in friendlies over the year, because a number of them probably wouldn't have been a part of the roster. So I would agree with that, that it would have possibly, you know, backed it up a little bit. So in some ways, it's by no means would I say we're glad we didn't go to Russia, but I think it really did offer opportunities for these young guys to get started earlier.
He's Dave Sarakan, head coach of the U.S. men's national team, coming up Colombia October 11th, Peru October 16th. Talk a little bit about that in a minute here, but I wanted to kind of take you back because, you know, we sometimes have the sky is falling attitude with U.S. soccer. There is a level of nervousness, I get the sense, right now. There's also a lot of people who are excited about the new youth and what you're doing with this youthful squad. How do you kind of take a look at U.S. soccer fandom and the people and their opinion? Because, you know, you've been a part of this game so long. You've gone through some of the dark times where we were starved for attention. Now we have tons of attention.
Right. You know, well, Glenn, I mean, having been and continue to be a coach and being on the inside of things, I try not to get too bogged down with people on the outside. Everyone's got opinions in all sports, but specifically in our sport. And really, the 90-some-odd percent of them really don't really understand what goes on the inside. And so, you know, the things you hear in terms of, you know, veteran guys or, you know, not hiring a coach already and now having social media, putting pressure on getting things done. I mean, it's really coming from an uneducated source. No offense to the people out there.
Right.
I think U.S. soccer is moving in the right direction. Ernie Stewart is on board. There's a process. You know, we've got a good pool of players to draw from. When you start talking about veteran guys, I wouldn't call them old guys. These are guys that are part of things, have been a part of things, and will be an important piece as we move along in qualifying and Gold Cup competition. And so there's a lot of chatter of things that people don't really understand. From the inside, what I would end this with is we don't have it perfect. I think we've used this last year in a great way to bring young guys along, and I think there's a nice process, good process moving forward to make sure that, you know, we get all the other little pieces right in terms of building teams and giving players experiences along the way.
He's Dave Sarakan, head coach of the U.S. men's national team. Do you speak with Ernie Stewart a lot? I mean, do you have a lot of contact with him?
Well, I have, yes, you know, Ernie started officially August 1st, and then, you know, we were in contact fairly, you know, much each week. He spent all the time with us when we were in New York for our game with Brazil and then in Nashville. So in between, we've spoken quite often as well. And so I want to keep Ernie, you know, updated and in the loop in terms of what myself and our staff are doing with our roster. I use him as a sounding board now. It's nice to have a technical person in that office that has the kind of experience Ernie has. So, yeah, we talk quite a bit, and he'll join us next week in Tampa and be a part of those two games as well.
All right, so let's move into this roster right now. And obviously we got a number of great young players here, and you've done a wonderful job nurturing them along. From the phases of integrating players, obviously you're bringing back Michael Bradley, Brad Guzan. I know you've handled this question about 1,000 times, and I'll just ask it for my listeners, and that is, how did you decide to integrate them back into the team now as opposed to later or even earlier?
Right. No, it's a good question, and I can't say it was exact science that it ended up being for these October games, but what I would say, Glenn, is that when I first took the position and we played Portugal back in November of 2017 and then all the friendlies leading up through June and playing France in France, my mindset and the mindset was we don't need veterans. Let's get all these young guys as many games and minutes, get to know them, give them these experiences. And that was that. When the fall series class kickoff series came out with the lineup of teams that we had, I knew at some point before the calendar year of 2018 was done that I felt it was important that we integrate some veterans with these young guys for many reasons. And a couple quick ones would be clearly just to be around them and really soak up the experiences that they've had to mentor a lot of these young guys, but also to realize that there's real competition. You know, this isn't just gifted to you being on the senior team. And I felt that I didn't do it in September because I wanted to build off of the France roster that we had sprinkled in with a few young guys in September, that I kept that sort of veteran free, if you want to call it that. But I felt with four games left, these two, and we'll see what happens with England and Italy in November, but for these two games, I thought the timing was right.
So Michael Bradley, Brad Guzan, will walk into a locker room with a lot of these young guys, and the dynamic will change, I don't think any question. I mean, I think from the outside, I can probably predict that. Will you look at now some of these young guys, because you don't want them to necessarily totally take a backseat either, do you? I mean, you want to see how these guys react now to some of these guys that have been in monster games for the United States and World Cups.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And again, that's a good point that you raised, Glenn, because that's exactly the reason to do it now. Because just think about, can you imagine that we don't include them, and then all of a sudden, a week before the Gold Cup, I start throwing in these guys? I mean, that's just not how you build a team. That's just not the right way to introduce new players or new people. So exactly that. I was very curious to see who would emerge as leaders amongst the young group. And now when you get people like Michael and Brad and Josie, unfortunately he's hurt, but you know, you start adding guys who are big personalities but big experienced guys, I expect that Tyler and Weston and Miazga and these guys are going to continue carrying on in the way they should, and they should take a backseat and begin to establish themselves within any of these guys that come in.
Do you think the normal fan base understands the organic value of Michael and Michael Bradley and Brad Guzan coming back? I mean, mixing with these guys in training, rooming with somebody, traveling with people, because there is that whole, you know, we go back to it all the time. I know you do, the whole veteran younger guy relationship. It works and it's proven.
The general fan doesn't get it, and people that haven't played team sports or been on teams won't get it. All they'll say is, why give these older guys these games? You're taking away minutes from young guys. And look, that's a fair question, and it's a fair point. And it's something I've as the manager, have chewed on a lot. But as I stated earlier, I think the value of a Michael and a Brad and a Josie and some of these guys in a locker room, at the team meal, at functions, at training, at in-game preparation, how valuable is that for Tyler Adams to, you know, share a coffee with Michael and talk about, hey, what's it really like to play at Azteca? What's it really like when, you know, you're going into El Salvador? So, yeah, the average fan won't get it, but I don't really worry about that. I think it's still very important. It's a great education for, it's continuing education units for these kids.
He's Dave Sarakin. He's been a long time in U.S. professional player, played in college, you name it, he's done it. Assistant head coach of the Chicago Fire. He's been there, he's done it. He is now heading up the U.S. men's national team, taking on Colombia and Peru. Are you surprised at how polarizing the decision to bring Michael back has been? Did you expect that?
Well, I haven't read a lot about it. I mean, the little I've heard is there's been as much written saying, hey, this is a good idea, than not. But, yeah, I would say this publicly, that I think Michael and Josie in particular were unfairly criticized for us not qualifying. I was actually embarrassed for the U.S. soccer community at the way they were treated. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in sport, you're always going to have, whether it's soccer or basketball or any sport, there's polarizing figures. There's people that you like, there's people that you don't, and that's just sport, that's life. And you know, you're talking about a couple guys like Brad and Michael who are very strong. I mean, they're not, that's not going to bother them, and it doesn't bother me. But yeah, I knew once that roster came out, there would be a lot of people questioning why now, why Michael, why Brad, you know, and it would have been Josie, as I said, but he's hurt. And I've stated the reasoning why, and so it is what it is. But I think there's value, and it's just sport, Glenn. That's how it works.
Yeah, for sure. Josh Sargent, coming back from Werder Bremen, you must be excited about that.
I am. You know, I've had my eye on Josh. I've had him in. We're so thin at that position, and he's just one of these guys that I think, looking in the long view, is going to be there. And so what better way to, you know, when you have games like these, to put a guy like Josh in the middle of those environments, because I think it's just going to pay off down the line. And he's young, but and he's getting closer to first team selection, I think, at Werder Bremen, but certainly doing a great job with their second group scoring. So yeah, I'm excited about having him back.
All right, let's talk about Christian Pulisic. He comes back as well, and I know that's, you know, we're talking about two guys that fans are really, really interested in seeing and are very talented young men. Christian coming back in good form with Borussia Dortmund.
Right, yeah, very, very excited to have Christian back. Haven't had him, as we know, and he was injured in the last game in September, but he's in great form. He's just such a talent, and you know, selfishly, to have a guy now that can make a difference in the final third, because we don't have a lot of depth there, is exciting for me and our group for sure. Along with the fact that, you know, just being back in our camp, in our locker room, on the field and training, and being reacquainted with a lot of the guys that he already knows, because let's face it, if he stays healthy, he's a fixture for the national team for many, many years. And so the more times we can get him involved and be a part of things, the better. So looking forward to having Christian with us this time.
Dave, we know how versatile he is. Is there any area that you feel you like him better as a starting point, out wide, making runs maybe inside or bringing you width, or do you like him from a central position, you know, making runs into wider areas?
Yeah, I think the way Dortmund uses him in a wide position is good for Christian. You know, every team, a lot of national teams will bring players from their clubs and move them in different spots. And I think, you know, the challenge in my mind is how can we get the ball at Christian's feet more? And will that happen as a central player or a wide player? And I don't have the answer yet, but I do think that the comfort level of him starting wide but tucking in and coming in, which he does for Dortmund, having that freedom is probably the best spot for him, even within our group. And that's going to take time to sort of develop with the group of players that he'll be around. But I still think from a wider spot, he's so good at going at people, so good at dropping a shoulder and getting a cross in or cutting in and getting a shot or slipping balls. So I do like him in a wider spot, I think.
All right, he's Dave Sarek. And last one, we're going to let you go, Dave. And thank you for enlightening us with what's going on around the men's national team and being so candid here. So you got Colombia and Peru. You got two teams that were at the World Cup. Obviously have a lot of South American influence. The schedule you guys have had has been amazing. I mean, if you talk about a proving ground, it's only going to get better. Just talk about these two matches, these two specific teams, and stylistically, some of the challenges you may face.
Right. Well, you're right. Both teams were World Cup teams. They're coming with a strong roster. You know, Tampa, we play Colombia in Tampa, which will involve some heat. We play Peru in Hartford, which likely would involve rain and cold. So we've got potentially two different climates, but we have two teams that are very technical, very strong on the ball, very quick, have good speed, technical speed and outright speed. So, you know, I think the game's going to get faster, and than the games that we've played. I mean, obviously Brazil was a different kind of game, but I think both Colombia and Peru present, you know, challenges for our guys in terms of speed of play on all levels. And so that's what you want, though. These are the games you really want to test guys with. But, you know, the theme for us is still to be aggressive, be play with no fear, and, you know, match them and be hard to play against, which I think we've established pretty well over the course of 10 months.
Dave, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. The insight is amazing, and it's great for the listeners to get this straight from you and all this wonderful information going into these games. Colombia, October 11th. Peru, October 16th. Dave, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Glenn. Take care.
All right, so that was Dave Sarakin, who has now been with the national team for a year. And going into these games, he'll have Michael Bradley, he will have Christian Pulisic, and he will also have Josh Sargent. A striker that many are looking forward to see play. All right, we'll take a quick break here. Coming up around the break, we'll have Will Bruin of the Seattle Sounders, the next Dynamo opponent. All special edition Bud Light Texas packaging brewed right here in Texas, which means it's brewed to go perfect with barbecue, like East Texas barbecue, Central Texas barbecue, South Texas, and West Texas barbecues. Basically, all barbecue. Enjoy responsibly. AB, Bud Light Beer, Houston, Texas. And a quick word here for the Kings Court. It is the place to be, 903 Hutchins in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. Go down there. Say hello to Jay. Kings Court, 13 monitors for all your soccer-watching desires. They host the Chelsea Bayou City Blues, the Houston Red Army supporters group, and, of course, El Batallón. The rooftop deck is spectacular. Great view of the stadium. British and Indian pub-style cuisine. Indian food is amazing. It's a secret. You need to get down there and try the Indian food at Kings Court. Great staff. Say hello to Jay. Cocktails, beer, all at great prices. KingsCourtHouston.com. Will Bruin, Seattle Sounders, coming up next.
Stream us on your car Bluetooth with the ESPN 97.5 app.
You must do it.
Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Mmm, steaks and Bluetooth. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We're going to end it up in big style here tonight. First, a quick word here for the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they will bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. If you get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial, construction, the Daspit Law Firm has you covered. They'll work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. Daspit Law Firm, it's DaspitLaw.com. An old friend coming back on the show here, Seattle Sounders striker, former Dynamo striker, 6 years here in Houston, scored a boatload of goals, has 67 all-time in Major League Soccer in his career. Out of the University of Indiana, he's Will Bruin. He joins us now. Will, as always, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Yeah, Glenn, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Well, it is always a pleasure, and we appreciate you coming on tonight. So let's talk a little bit about the Seattle Sounders and what a remarkable kind of up and down and interesting season it's been for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a crazy year. You know, we started the year off very poor. It seemed like everybody was getting injured each day at training and games and stuff, so that was something we had to overcome. And then, you know, we made a few signings, got everybody healthy, and made a big run, and now we're sitting above the red line, but we know we can go a little higher.
Now, you got the Dynamo on Monday. That's a huge game. Orlando City, Dynamo, and Earthquake, and basically it's three teams fighting for probably two playoff spots. Is that pretty fair to say?
Yeah, no, I'd say so, for sure, and especially with Galaxy sneaking up too. There's a lot of stuff that can happen in the last few weeks.
No doubt about it. Okay, so let's talk about this year. What was the trigger point? What was the thing that just kind of platformed you into this great run that got you guys back into things?
Well, you know, I think for a while we just were kind of low on confidence. We weren't really playing our best. Things weren't going our way, and then we had a pretty long road trip in the summer where we went to Denver, we won there, and then we got a draw in New England on short rest, and then the following weekend we went into Atlanta and got a draw with 10 men. So I think that kind of got our confidence back, gave us some belief and some inspiration again, and then obviously adding some new pieces in the summer kind of increased competition.
So, Will, obviously it's been an up-and-down season for you guys. Just explain kind of this bumpy ride here, but you guys have righted things as of late here with a lot of good results.
Yeah, lately we've been playing really well. We've got everybody healthy right now for the most part. And, you know, we're playing with confidence. We're scoring goals. We're defending really well, and I think, you know, the belief is there. Maybe early in the year we had a lot of guys injured. Things weren't going our way. We were down on ourselves, but, you know, that happens to every team throughout a long MLS season.
Will, is that the moral of the story in Major League Soccer? It's all about finding and making sure you have confidence at the right time? Because I'm looking at DC United in the Eastern Conference. I'm looking at you guys in the West. And I'm looking at two teams that could be real threats in the playoffs. And there's no telling what can happen.
Yeah, I definitely think that plays a huge part. But, you know, the last month or two of the season, you really want to make sure that everybody's getting healthy, everybody's feeling good, so you can make that stretch run, and then you can kind of get it going into the playoffs. So, you know, I think our staff has done a great job of making sure that's what's happening with us right now.
He's Will Bruin, Seattle Sounders. Dynamo will take on the Seattle Sounders on Monday. Will Bruin right now, 6 goals, 5 assists in his career, 67 Major League Soccer goals. That's a lot of goals out of the University of Indiana. And those listening here in Houston, remember him for all the goals he scored for the Houston Dynamo. All right, so back on June 7th, I saw a tweet that you had, and this was during the phase where you said the team was lacking a little bit of confidence. And some fans were saying, hey, the season's a wash. And you called them out on social media. You said that's nonsense to talk like that. Effects of social media. I like the fact that you took a stand for your team.
You know, it's June. Yeah. Season starts in March. We're not even close to halfway through the season. And, you know, when people say when it rains, it pours, everybody thinks it's the end of the world. We've got to win right now. It's got to be this. Like, internally, we knew it was not even close to the standard we know we can play. We knew it wasn't good enough. But we've always had a strong mentality of staying together. And I think it was important to kind of convey that to the fans and the supporters that, hey, look, we're not throwing in the towel, so why would you guys throw in the towel? And, you saw the run we went on. We won a 9-game win. I think it was about 12 unbeaten or so, but, and we're right back above the red line, and we know we can play better and move higher up in the standings.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great, and I thought it was great interaction between you as a player taking a stand for the team and the fans. Now, look, you're in a different market. It's on a whole nother level there. When you guys aren't playing well, are the fans tough on you? Are they tough? Is the media tough?
You know, it's a double-edged sword because the standard here is so high. Fans expect winning game in, game out. And the organization, the club, the players, we expect to win too. So kind of this year, I think it was kind of different where, you know, we kind of started off much worse than we have in the past. And I think guys were kind of just like looking around at each other like, what's going on here? We got to find an answer to this sooner rather than later. And unfortunately, it took a little longer, but, you know, we kind of grinded through it and got out of it, and now we're playing the way we know we can. But to answer your question, there is, with it being such a big market, there is more internal pressure and more accountability, and I think that's very important, and I think guys in the locker room own it too, which is very important.
Would you have it any other way?
No, definitely not. You don't want it easy. When things are going bad and everybody's like, oh, it's okay, no problem, then that's when complacency comes in, and, you know, then sometimes losing can not be a big deal. And, you know, here up in Seattle, it's a big deal to us. So we weren't happy with the first half of the season. And, you know, Schmetz never told us to stop believing and quit working. And, you know, we never stopped. And now we're almost to where we want to be.
Did you ever think, you know, when you're back playing at Indiana, that one day you'd be walking out in front of these crowds and playing in front of these crowds and scoring goals at CenturyLink in Seattle, with this sort of coverage, this sort of fervent passion for the Seattle Sounders? Did you ever think it could get that big?
Honestly, no. I kind of just went year to year at Indiana. Well, going back to high school, I kind of just was like, oh, where am I going to go to college? Oh, I can play soccer in college. Oh, I can play soccer in Indiana. So for me, it's kind of just been enjoy every moment of the ride. And 2.5 years, 3 seasons at Indiana, and they were great. And then the opportunity came up to go pro, and Houston took a flyer on me with Dom. And, you know, I'm very, very thankful for my 6 years in Houston. It was great to start my career off there. And, by the way, congratulations on the Open Cup championship. Well deserved for the city.
You know, the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup has been a big part of the winning culture in Seattle, too, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's been, you know, it's something that we've kind of prided ourselves on. And I think that's kind of when I put the tweet out, was after after we went out in the Open Cup. You know, but that's a great accomplishment for Houston, and I'm very happy that the city can enjoy a trophy, because I've been seeing today on Twitter how they're at city council and stuff, and I think it's great.
Yeah, no, it's a good uplift right now for the Houston Dynamo. Will Bruin joining us here, former Dynamo, now with the Seattle Sounders. All right, you talked about a couple of things. Nicolas Ladero started going here. Tie this into Raul Ruiz Diaz, the new signing from Peru, and kind of some of the things that got you guys back into a confident place.
Yeah, Nico's great. Nico's always working, he's a motor. He runs forever. I think since we moved him centrally, he's been very good. That final pass is very good. And Raul, he's very good as well. His finishing is amazing. His movement is good. He opens up space for other guys around him. So those two clicking have been really good and really important for our success that we've had recently.
Yeah, was there a singular moment when you felt things changing? Was it a certain game? Was it a certain result, a certain play? It sometimes is amazing to look at how teams turn things around, and it sometimes comes down to almost a singular moment.
Yeah, you know, I thinking back, first thing that comes to my mind is on the road in Atlanta, down to 10 men, and we found a way to grind it out against a high-powered offense and keep them at zeros in front of 70,000. I think that was, you know, kind of internally a big boost for us mentally. And then, you know, and then from there, we just took it one game at a time. And we had good results on the road. We had good results at home, and it kind of just turned into this big win streak. So looking back on it, it was really cool that we were able to do that. But in the moment, we still have to get 3 points. We still have to get 3 points. We dug ourselves a huge hole. Every game is a must win. And, you know, I think we did a good job of climbing out of that for the most part.
Will Bruin, Seattle Sounders, they will be hosting the Houston Dynamo. Do you guys ever get the sense that your fans, like, you know, with Atlanta bursting on the scene now and drawing these big crowds, and do you feel like that lifts your franchise? Is like the bar keeps being traded back and forth between Seattle and Atlanta?
For sure. They want to try to outdo us, but we're not going to let them do it. We got the best fans in the league. So, you know, I think it's good competitiveness between the fans. You know, let them have their banter and see who can have a better TIFO, who can have better attendance. Overall, it's great for the teams and it's great for the league.
Will Bruin joining us here. All right, so we got to talk about Clint Dempsey. Did this shock you that Clint went away from the team during the season, and what sort of effect did that have?
Clint I roomed with him on the road. He's a great guy. Very storied career. You look at everything he's done for the national team and for the Sounders, and everywhere he's played, it's one of the best in to play for the U.S. You know, I know he was getting a little older. Injuries were nagging him a little more, and you know, that was. I never really talked to him in depth about it, but I'm sure it was something that he thought about for a while. And I'm just happy that I was able to play with him and kind of get to know him.
Yeah, what will be the biggest thing you remember about Clint and his career in Seattle?
Him and when I remember watching him with you guys in Houston, him and Oba, man, that was a good partnership. Those two played off each other great. You know, they were fun to watch, but you know, and just like from playing with Clint here in Seattle, his competitiveness is probably the best I've played with. He wants to win every drill, no matter what it is. He'll throw bows at training if he has to win, and that's just, you know, you don't get that. Everybody doesn't do that. And I think that's kind of what sets him apart from everybody else.
He's Will Brun joining us here. Dynamo will take on Seattle Monday. Okay, so this is a very different Dynamo, as you guys know, last year from playing them in the Western Conference in the playoffs. It's a very different Dynamo team. What is it that, you know, maybe Seattle has to be concerned with when they take on the Houston Dynamo?
It's a very explosive and dangerous team. I think we still have to play you guys twice, and I think that can cause some problems. You know, with Kyoto, Elise, and Morrow, those front three are so quick and mobile, and Morrow is a great finisher, and I'm so happy with all the goals he scored this year because he deserves it just from knowing him from playing there. You know, so I think we really have to pay attention to the counter, and that first pass, if we turn the ball over, the first pass up to Kyoto and Elise can cause a counter. We're really going to have to be aware of that and not let that happen.
You know, when you were here in Houston with Morrow and you guys were training side by side, did you ever think Morrow would get to these heights? I mean, what were your impressions of him as a very young man?
No, I definitely, there was something, you know, with goal scorers, you can just tell. There's not one thing I can put my finger on that says, but you just knew he always found a way to score. He was always scoring. Even at trainings and stuff, maybe he wasn't getting the minutes he wanted when he first got there and stuff, and he still put his head down, did his work, came in, never pouted, and that's just like, you know, I think he's one of the good guys, and I'm really happy to see the success he's been having. Just hope he doesn't have it against us.
Yeah, I got you from that angle. Dynamo fans are going to be hoping to get one over on you, Will, but they also will remember all the great times they had with you here in Houston with you scoring goals. And if Mauro Manotas is one of the good guys, Will Brun is one of the good guys as well. Will, thank you so much for coming on the program tonight.
All right, Glenn. Thanks for having me. Always good talking to you.
Yeah, likewise. We'll do it again, okay?
All right, sounds good.
All right, that's Will Brun, a Seattle Sounders striker. I mean, this is a guy who's playing in front of 40, 50,000 every week. Former Dynamo. You saw him score a bunch of goals here in Houston. Again, the Dynamo will take on the Seattle Sounders this Monday. That game you can catch on the Cube. So don't forget to tune into our pregame show. And there'll certainly be some mention of Will Brun in that pregame show, no question. All right, that'll do it for tonight. Michael Hernandez, we thank you for producing here tonight. Victor Ariza, for all your great support here. And all of you who listened in tonight, all our great guests tonight, thank you. Again, Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook, Soccer Matters. We'll be back next Tuesday, 7 Central. On behalf of the firm, I'm Glenn Davis. Have a great night.
ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.